Let the spirit of the Kennedys
and the magic of the Disney brothers be with you always.
Blood and Business Legacy merch, available now.
Let's run faster,
work harder,
burn brighter
before we're gone.
Order your Blood and Business Legacy merch today.
This is KFM 3, part 1.
How's my tummy? We can't record a KFM episode without having stomach noises.
We need to talk about the Kennedy siblings.
Episode 3.
Welcome to Blood and Business.
I'm Bethany.
And I'm Cassie.
Oh, Rosemarie, how you have wrecked me.
I cried like a poem yesterday twice. Twice.
Only twice. I'm pretty sure Cassie was crying like the whole freaking time.
Like 4 times.
We finished the editing and like the final viewing experience of the episode 3 that we post on Patreon.
3 and 4. We did Rosemary's whole story yesterday.
Yeah, back to back. We do like one final watch through before we upload the videos, the interactive videos to our Patreon. And oh my gosh, the photos of her little face. And she just had such a personality from such an early age. In all of the photos, she's like just grinning from ear to ear. And Jack and Joe are just like staring at the camera.
Yeah.
And she is just wild.
So solemn. And she has like surprised faces, happy faces.
Yeah. Oh. She just seems so vibrant and lively. And Jack starts looking that way in photos like later on as he gets older. But Rosemary from literally
birth,
her like, yeah, 1 year old photo. Yeah. She is just, her face is so bright. And
yeah, if you are not on Patreon and you haven't like watched the episodes, go online and just look at some photos of Rosemary.
Yes, a little hack. You can go to the JFK Library website and they have archives of all of the Kennedy family photo albums. That is where some really good hidden gems are. It takes a while to like sift through them, but if you're obsessed, then it's definitely worth just perusing the website.
Or you can just watch the...
Yeah, or you could just watch
the interactive videos. Bethany has like literally made documentaries out of these episodes. The interactive videos are the main episodes with just photos. And then you also get to see us actually performing. But anyway,
she was so beautiful. Like her whole life, she was just gorgeous.
She was legit, I think, the prettiest Kennedy.
She looks like a movie star, like a vintage movie star. If you've seen Changeling, the mom in that kind of a little bit like gives me that sort of
same
feel.
Time period. And
yes,
like,
they dressed the same.
Dark hair, very like porcelain skin.
Yeah. Oh, it's just, what a gem. But anyways, Rosemary's story is an emotional roller coaster, and you have just finished listening to part one of her story, and
which
part two
is just ramping up. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. Part three sets us up to absolutely be completely wrecked in episode 4,
because we say obviously at the end of last episode that Joe takes her to get a lobotomy. And it took me, Cassie, literally till last night to our last listen through to realize a lobotomy back then did not mean what it means to us today.
You have to put yourself in 1941.
Yes, context is so important. And to put ourselves in that time period when mental illness, mental disabilities, disorders, physical disabilities, people just had no, doctors had no idea.
Because Bethany mentioned, okay, a lobotomy. The word lobotomy has so much attached to it for us. We know what that means.
Yeah,
we know
you hear that,
that
word
means,
and you're automatically cringing.
Yes.
We think of Miss Ratchet from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. What is it called? Is it? What is Nurse Ratchet from? Question mark. Yeah, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah, we have like full on
horror films in our mind.
TV shows, films, books. We've heard folklore from our parents and our grandparents talking about this crazy time. And we know everything that's attached to lobotomies. But 1941 knew none of that. A lobotomy was this new brain surgery. It was just like this medical term, nothing attached to it. That changes everything. And we will talk about that in KFM4. But I'm trying to think, if you don't know that your daughter has disabilities, like as we're listening to the story, we know Rosemary has a disability and we have this event that happened and we're like filtering everything through knowing so much. And whenever your daughter's just growing up,
like Cassie said in episode 3, Rosemary's mom had never even come in contact with a person with mm-hmm. physical or mental disabilities before. And she was a very traveled, very cultured person.
Even after they had Rosemary, and they would have been looking for communities that had similar
experiences, yeah, or similar situations.
Yeah. And talking to doctors and talking to teachers and educators and trying to find solutions for her. Even in 1960, Joe Kennedy was saying, I just am now realizing a lot of people have this experience. I didn't know that. And we should talk about it.
Yeah.
Because things in the dark are not helpful. And she was born in 1918 and he was coming to terms with that and realizing that in 1960.
Yeah, well, and it's 2022 and I still feel like we are just now talking about mental illness mm-hmm. and mental health and taking the stigma away. It was not at all this like common experience. Mm-hmm. It was certain people and certain families are crazy and had to go to an inpatient yeah. hospital.
Almost like an anomaly.
Yeah, like it was like the exception to the rule. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like mental health and mental illness is looked at as like a way more common thing.
Yeah.
And because of
and
that,
of a sliding scale of
right.
a spectrum
right.
of experiences, not just either crazy or not crazy.
Yeah, you're either normal or you're not normal. No, now we can see it with less ignorant eyes.
We talked about Rose's diaries, which I said in the episode diary entries, and it sounds like
diarrhea every time you guys laugh because we have so many. If you don't follow us on Instagram, you need to follow us on Instagram because we will get on stories and talk about our like inside jokes because there are so we make fun of ourselves so much.
Yesterday we have way too many like references to phrases in our episodes
or
now,
just words that are like permanently in a quote in our minds.
Brain. So the one yesterday, Bethany was trying to pause the episode on the laptop and we were laying on the couch and
the laptop
listening.
Was near Cassie.
So Bethany reaches out her foot and tries to find the space bar to hit pause
with her foot.
I was like, and there she stood working her big toe.
Solemnly declaring that it was in this way
that she created the excitement that drove so many people to whatever. We,
you know,
we have absolutely too many things that are running through our brain permanently. But I was like going somewhere with that before I said, diary entries. Diarrhea.
Well, there we go.
Okay. Oh, in episode 3, I mentioned Rose's diary entries. Didn't mention Rosemary at all at the beginning of her birth and then slowed down. And legit, there have been things in my life that Bethany has been telling me about or like I'm seeing play out in front of me. And I kind of know I don't know what's going on. But in hindsight, I fully had no clue what was happening in real time. And I feel like Rose
kind of had that fog.
Just literally had no, like she was trying to survive every day, but she had no clue what was going on.
Right. She had no idea that Rosemary had a mental disability.
Yeah, she was just like, okay, she's really happy and content. Okay, that's because she's a girl and she has a different personality. Okay, she's a little bit delayed, but that's fine. Like, we will just like do
she's
extra
a different
practice.
Baby,
we'll
a
work
unique
at it.
Kid,
yeah. And slowly, she's like, what is going on?
There's,
I wonder when she even figured out.
Yeah,
you know?
I think it was after Rosemary was 5+ because
yeah,
because even
a year
five,
she was just noticing. Oh, okay, she's for sure delayed.
But
a year.
To her, it wasn't even
no, it wasn't.
It wasn't delayed like we know. There was not nearly as much research in child development.
All
now,
that happened
like,
in like
everyone
the 50s
in their,
and 60s.
Yes,
you just grew up. That's
yeah.
It.
There were no like mile markers of oh my gosh, my kid is not
eating a banana with her
yeah,
fingers
yeah. by 2 years old. This is a problem. They weren't watching for those things.
Mm-mm. So let's get into our actual conversation. KFM3, we have to talk about Rosemary. Okay, so obviously the first thing in Rosemary's story
is her birth. And a birth that was extremely traumatic and did not go according to plan.
That birth for Rose, I mean, she had had 2 kids before, so she knew obviously that's not normal to wait for
yeah,
2
but what
hours,
do you do? Like,
but
literally, what are you supposed to do? all you, I feel like all you can do is trust your doctors. And it would be like nowadays, okay, I'm thinking Cassie's going into birth. What would I do in this situation? I feel like I would be advocating for you and trying to figure something else out, but I would also be like Googling things, calling people, you know
what
I mean?
Well, here's the other thing though. We have been through certain like hospitalization right, type like family member events. Issues that are like, yeah, events that we've learned those things from. Mm-hmm. But she's so young. She has only had a very normal birth experience, and you have to learn that like nobody else is going to advocate for you. Nobody else cares as much as you do because
right.
it's
doctors
your...
are not always right. Nurses are not always correct.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like that's something that you learn from experience, and she learned that through this experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that she, as Rosemary grew up, definitely showed signs of, okay, no. Nobody else knows what they're talking about either. I'm going to take charge. I'm going to tell them what I want to tell them. I'm going to advocate for Rosemary. I'm going to try to accommodate for her in the way that I feel like she needs, less trusting other people.
For sure. She definitely took the reins on Rosemary and advocating for her. She was her biggest ally. And yeah, maybe you're right. I hadn't thought about that. But that role of hers, like she realized after the birth that, oh, no one is really helping me. No one knows what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And it is my job as her mother to be the person to figure it all out.
I might have not gone to school, but I care the most. And I will do the most work to figure out what there is to figure out and find the best accommodations and solutions, whatever. But I think that looking at it through even my own personal life experiences, I've learned a lot of those same lessons at the same time in my life, like the same life stage, although I didn't have kids and I'm not learning it through kids. I'm still learning it through
family members.
Yeah, having experiences with family members, having experiences just growing up in your 20s, figuring right. out that nobody else knows what they're talking about either. And she's so young. She's in her early 20s. And that's when she's learning her place in the world and how everyone else
operates. But I feel like Joe, too, took on the reins of advocating and didn't put all of his trust in other people either with Rosemary, because there's a quote in episode 3 where he says, we'll keep Rosemary at home. What can they do for her that we can't do as her family? And they were
just asking
schools,
people. Yeah.
They
doctors.
Were asking people for help. They were trying to figure out, well, what do people do in these situations? How is the best, what's the best route for her? Do we do private school? Do we do boarding school? Do we do at home homeschooling? They wanted to try everything, but they wanted to try everything at home before they were going to say, okay, someone else raised my kid. Because to them, like, yeah, you said, no one's going to love her more than we love her. No one's going to care about her education or care about the person that Rosemary becomes more than her parents will.
And if you haven't learned that lesson through life experience yet,
here you go.
Trust it. Just because you are not as educated, it does not mean that you are not the best person for the job.
Correct.
So trust yourself and don't put yourself down. Like take that
responsibility
role. Yeah.
And that doesn't mean like don't listen to other people when they're giving you advice, but take everything everyone says with a grain of salt. Like
filter everything.
Yes.
Doctors are just humans. Therapists are just humans. Psychologists are just humans. And
they are not the end all be all. They are not perfect.
Just because they're quote unquote qualified does not mean that they don't
make mistakes
or have different
a bias.
Yeah, have different opinions than you do. Doctors disagree all the time.
Right, within their own community. A master's or doctorate does not mean that you
I feel like we need to
outsmarting
like,
other people.
Trust no one tattoos.
Right.
This is very Harley Quinn of us, but we're just saying if something's a big deal and you like really need something to get taken care of, don't just assume that other people are going to do it.
The Kennedys never did after that.
And now, to ensure that you stay well fed, here is your conspiracy of the week.
The doctor, the one who's supposed to be qualified and professional and making choices and decisions that, quote unquote, shall not harm anyone. What's the...
Yeah, I was gonna say the oath.
What's the Hippocratic oath? To do no harm. Hello. The fact that Rosemary has the disabilities is because she had to stay in the birth canal after she had already left the womb for 2 freaking hours. And she basically was cut off from her oxygen source for way too long.
Which we know it causes brain damage.
We know. And they even, it says that they knew that then. That was common knowledge that the, not that it would cause it, but that you would put the baby at risk for that. They knew that if the baby had left the womb already and was in the birth canal for too long, it can cause a risk of disabilities. One possibility is that the nurse made Rose keep Rosemary in the birth canal for that long because she just was too nervous and too insecure to deliver the baby herself without the doctor's guidance or without him overseeing it, without him being there. The other explanation was something that I read about the time period, and what was typical of private births back then was that they cost a few thousand dollars and the family would not owe anything, would not owe the delivery fee at all if the doctor was not present, which they waited until the doctor was present to deliver Rosemary. So I'm like, one plus one equals two. There's no way.
Cassie's like, for sure thinks I'm that she knows.
Sure.
And I am not so convinced, but I definitely think that it is possible. I it's like a coin toss for me.
I'm like, follow the money. Always follow the money.
Follow the insecurity, though. Follow the freaking insecurity.
I mean, that was the first thing I thought was insecurity, because I struggle with insecurity and I would totally see someone just folding and being like,
and panicking. Like, I've never had a situation. I've done blah, 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 and I've never come across this in birth. I don't know what to do. And the doctor is right around the corner. He'll be here any minute. Just keep holding her in. I can see that being the nurse going into a panic and feeling like I'm not qualified. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I can see it. And that could be. But also,
Cassie loves a good conspiracy. I feel like I just would need more information in order to...
This is me and Bethany. She's more skeptical than I am.
I need more information.
You know what? Most of the time, you're the one that's like, people are bad.
Yeah. Probably because you think that I'm on the other side, because I'm always going to be the devil's advocate. Yeah.
If you are fighting one way, she will be on the other side.
Even if I believe the other side.
We should say, honestly, that is like something to keep in mind for this whole podcast.
Yes.
Because we are always going to look at every side, even if we don't really think that that's probably the likely case.
Or if we don't agree with it, we will find a way to fit ourselves in their shoes and advocate
at least
for their perspective. Because people's perspectives matter and context matters.
Yeah.
And looking at things multiple ways matters, because that's how, like, to practice that in your own life, is really important. And I think most things go back to expectation and miscommunication. And when you're looking at it from your point of view and your point of view is so clear to you and the absolute truth to you, then things can become mountains that are actual molehills and become massive things that don't need to be, because that is me and Cassie. Our relationship, all of our issues are, I'm saying something, meaning it one way, and Cassie takes it a completely different way, but doesn't
because
say that,
just people,
completely
I reacts. Just assume that, like, that's definitely what you were saying, because there's no other possibility in my brain or schema at all. And apparently Bethany is an alien, and she freaking thinks completely differently than anyone I've ever talked to.
I don't know. But it is interesting to think about, and which is why me and Cassie like to... Enneagram type are characters that we cover.
Yeah.
Because
it for sure helps.
Yeah. Jack was so confusing to me until I figured out his Enneagram. And then I'm like, okay, it all makes sense, because the core motivation is X, Y, and Z.
Which is what? No, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah. I do want to do a whole like series on Instagram of Enneagram typing.
The Kennedys. Though it's a personality test, and though it's like a box that you put people in, it like almost humanizes people.
That's what I was going to say. Instead of villainizing someone and being like, that was right or wrong.
Or you just made this decision because.
You see the gray area of like what people think.
You see the rainbow of people.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Instead of being right or wrong, instead of being black and white, it's
different ways
of
thinking.
You were coming from.
Yeah.
Even if you're wrong and that was unhealthy or not nice or whatever, I can see how you got to that decision or why you were that way, why you were acting that way. It's also interesting to think about people's like survival type. And this was something that came up for me about Joe and Rose as well, which I feel like we talk more about the Kennedys' parents than any parents ever before. But well, like they were sure, freaks.
And the only reason the Kennedys are the Kennedys is because of Joe and Rose.
Right.
And Honey Fitz and whatever. But Joe and Rose.
Yeah. But knowing how people, A, like what makes them tick, their motivations and their personality, but also how they act under pressure is also huge for to think about with the Kennedys, because they were under a lot of pressure throughout their whole life. And
yeah,
they went through a ton of traumatic, sad survival mode.
I would say almost the Kennedys have more perspective.
What do you mean?
Because they've gone through so many different situations and so many experiences.
They've had so many high highs and low lows and everything in between.
It's like all of that experience builds perspective.
Yeah.
So you've been on the bottom. You've been on the top. You've talked to the Pope. You've talked to the King. You've talked to the President. You've talked to the blue collar working men. If you add to your experiences, you just add perspective.
I told Cassie this after as soon as I graduated from high school, I moved to New York City, and I'm from Oklahoma, or were from Oklahoma, from a smaller town. And after that experience, I was such a huge advocate of everyone needs to move out of their hometown mm-hmm. and live in a place that is completely different. So if you were born in New York City, you need to go visit a podunk city and like live there for a while mm-hmm. and be with the people and understand the culture and the mindset, because we're a lot more alike than people think, but we're also extremely different. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, with the personality type. I can be saying something and rooting for something, and someone else can think it's absolutely horrible, but you don't understand why I believe the way that I believe until you've walked a mile in my shoes.
And it's so cliche. It's such a freaking lesson that we've heard our whole entire lives, but until you do it and experience it
and live it out.
Bethany changed so much.
I was just such a black and white personality type, and things were either right or they were wrong, and there was no in between, and I didn't understand certain life decisions, and I didn't have as much like humanness.
Perspective.
Yeah, perspective and like empathy. Mm-hmm. It's like these stories, why we want to tell these stories in such detail is because you can hear facts you can see a timeline and not understand the depth of those decisions and the depth of a life until you've really given yourself time to fully sink into those shoes and feel what they felt and put yourself in their shoes, like having to make those types of decisions. And we're going to talk about that more next episode, because after episode 4, more opens up, obviously, in that story that we want to get into, and like very controversial, seemingly black and white things that are not so black and white once you zoom in a little bit.
Dude, I literally had two things to say and I can't think of them at all.
Well, great.
The Kennedys had the most perspective. Oh my gosh. That's what I was going to say. Speaking of the Kennedys having experiences and perspective and all of that, Rosemary was the experience and the person who opened their world the most. They had so many experiences, but still, Rosemary, just their sister, is the thing that had the biggest impact.
She was just the one that made them all more human and had that effect on them, where it's kind of like the whole immigrant story in episode 1, where we say they were aware that people on the bottom
had value
and were most likely on the bottom for a reason, because they were coming from another country, or they did have X, Y, and Z experience.
Not because they were incapable or
just bad or stupid or anything like that. And that brought that gray area to them on like the society level. But then Rosemary brought that gray area to them in a different way, more vulnerable.
And what we mean by gray area is
that just things are not always as they seem. Sometimes things are just out of your control, and you can be the best person in the world and you can have all of the resources at your fingertips, and there is room for human error, and there, like, we live in a jacked up world.
It wasn't just, oh, okay, that's because that's their sister. Like, there's a lot of people who don't really identify with their siblings.
Yeah, that's my sibling. She lives with my parents and she's...
Yeah, my parents' responsibility.
Yeah.
Not mine.
Correct.
And I think that the Kennedys deserve credit for the character that they developed. And I think that everyone is like, oh, the Kennedys have such bad character. But you have to look at the whole story. No, they don't.
I know, but it is, I get why people think that, because it's so confusing and they
are so confusing.
Such a bizarre family and their dynamic was so out of the norm, but it's almost better in a way, even though it appears to be extreme and unhealthy.
No, it doesn't appear to be extreme.
But the normal, but it's like they just took the ultimate not lazy route. Like they took the ultimate road less traveled. And yeah, to us, normal is, quote unquote, normal is quote unquote healthy and quote unquote how it's supposed to be. And people just take that verbatim and it's harder to go against the grain. And it also is easier as humans to point out that person's weird and they're the ones who are doing it wrong. And all of us who are taking like the easy route or just doing the bare minimum.
Yeah, the smoother path.
Yeah, we're not going against the grain. It's easier for us to all be like, oh, we're the healthy ones. We're the ones making the right decision. We're the
and
ones.
What do you mean? What right decisions are what healthy?
Like how the Kennedys were so gung-ho, took all the responsibility for every opportunity. And a lot of people can say, oh, well, that wasn't their right to do. They were walking all over people. They were taking power. They were taking money. They were, you know, they were trailblazers, but they were like walking all over people in a way. I think that's how people, a lot of people view any sort of
kind of the whole family in power situation.
Yeah, any sort of family in power, though, I think it's easy to point out and say, well, they had to step on a lot of people to get there,
mm-hmm,
or take advantage of people, or they live in a bubble. They don't even know what the real world is like.
Yeah.
And to just write them off, mm-hmm, because that makes us feel better about ourselves, that we aren't accomplishing things.
Yeah.
Or that we're not in that circle. Or even to just, we love a spectacle and we love to blame someone else. We love to point...
We love to put, yeah, other people. It really is taking responsibility off of yourself. People love to say, well, they're not doing a good job either. So,
yeah, they're not doing a good job either. Or the only reason they're doing a good job is because they started out like 5 miles ahead of me, mm-hmm, and I could never. It's not realistic for me. And I think that although people view the Kennedys that way, it's
and
almost
obviously. Like, that's why we started with their grandparents. I could never be JFK. Like, I didn't have what he had to work with.
Correct.
But.
And Joe couldn't be JFK because he didn't start out
right
with that.
And
either.
If he could have, he freaking would have been president.
Right. But that doesn't mean that them making those decisions and living that lifestyle was easy for them. They still chose to take the road less traveled. Every opportunity that they got, kind of like.
Yeah, we talk about that in episode 5 or 6, and I'll just give like a tiny little bit and then we'll go back to it. Jack didn't know he was going to be president, and he was doing all these things that set him up for the presidency in hindsight. But while he was doing them, he didn't freaking know that. All he was doing was the next right thing, the next thing that he could contribute. He was just doing whatever the most that he could with the position that he was in and whatever experience he had. And like it built something huge in the end of the story, but mm-hmm, he didn't
know he was climbing to the mountaintop while he was climbing. He just knew he was taking another
he was
step.
Just being responsible with whatever it was going to look like. And I know that's probably something that people don't want to hear. People don't want to hear that JFK didn't know he was going to be president when he was doing responsible things and contributing, but he didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't just do things to be the most powerful person in America. He didn't.
He did things when he thought he was going to die.
Exactly.
Yeah. When he thought, oh, in 6 months, I probably won't be here. In 3 weeks, I might not be here.
And
tomorrow,
that,
I might not be here.
And that deserves
recognition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not
acknowledgement.
Even recognition.
And
it's just acknowledgement.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think it's dangerous to just write people off for what the end of their story looked like, because then that's not reality. And you're forgetting how whatever happened actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
JFK didn't just get, I deem thee president of the United States without him doing anything. So if you're going to go tell the next generation, well, you're just born with that, or you're not. You're taking away opportunity.
It's just like you, if you're giving people the wrong blueprint, you're telling them that's something that's not true.
Yeah. And we've talked about that, I think, either in the Disney episodes or in the Kardashian siblings episodes, because
I think it's the Kardashians, because there's so many rich socialite type of families who don't do what the Kardashians did.
Right. And the Kardashians, when they were born, were not the Kardashians. No. And people love, especially on TikTok, to say
they had his name, though. Even though he didn't give them millions of dollars or whatever, they still had his name. No, they didn't. They built the Kardashian name, not Robert.
Nobody freaking cared. Cassie talks about that in the Kardashians, about how she, as a kid, always had this like perception of that people were just like born with star quality or weren't, and that they didn't have to work for it necessarily. I don't know what Cassie thought, but she's definitely more of the like, if it doesn't come easy, then it's not meant to be kind of a thing.
Kind of, yeah.
You were either born for it or you weren't born for it.
Here's the thing. I didn't know whenever I was growing up that people had as much power as they do.
Like you decision making. Control. Yeah. Yeah.
You have control of a lot.
Yes.
Let me move.
I'm going to say circling back to. Okay. You've absolutely zero depth perception. A funny story. Just while we're taking a little break. My dad literally thought that Cassie needed glasses when we were little.
And a hearing aid.
Because Cassie was always screaming, and because not screaming as in like throwing a fit, like just talking absolutely way too loud. Aggressive. And because she would knock things over and trip all like so much that my dad was literally like, you have to be blind. Like you need glasses.
And I don't need a hearing aid or glasses.
No,
you're just a flailing, frantic person.
So circling back to Rosemary and the siblings and the family dynamic around Rosemary and basically like the context, the time period, all of that. If the Kennedys made those same decisions, sending Rosemary off to school and like trying to help her get a job at a camp during the summer and taking her to the Harvard football games and taking her out on the weekends and paying for the whole orphanage to... The whole orphanage. The whole...
Just every time Cassie, that quote of them going to see the Disney movie.
I know. Episode, it's literally Madeline.
Yeah, them all true, marching with the nun.
Because
the nun was the one. Yeah. Anyways.
That's what I also picture.
Paying for all of the kids at the boarding school to go. I just think that people would think that they were taking really good care of her. And for them to have done that now and that to still in 2022 seemed like they were doing the best that like a family can in that situation.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Seems amazing. And then you realize that, oh, we are in the 20s and the 30s right now.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap. What they were going above
the way
and
that they viewed Rosemary was not the norm, was not expected, was not a taught practice. They decided that themselves, and
that was like a radical.
Yes, it was very radical
belief.
And we're gonna talk more about eugenics, more about the world wars, and all of it is very related, and it all has to do with these elite circles that they grew up in, that they were a part of, and all the people they were rubbing shoulders with vehemently disagreed with them.
Yeah. And so much so that they felt like they had to hide Rosemary, obviously. But the fact
Catholic
that they were
Church
aware.
Even, the Catholic Church.
Which confuses me.
Sacraments. Well, they're like, well, they don't understand. So,
yeah,
they can't.
It's like sacrilegious
participate
or something. But they were also obviously like the nuns were incredible and took care of Rosemary super well. But
in the institution of the Catholic Church, you're not, because those nuns were on a human to human, very intimate basis with Rosemary, and they could tell, oh, she
maternal.
Understands what I'm saying to her. She gets it. Like, they were actually looking at that situation and taking in information and making decisions. The Catholic Church as a whole is very much blanket statements, traditions. This is the way we do things. And like we said, people back then didn't understand And so they just stayed away from it.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They almost not even just feared it, but were so ignorant. And it was so, they were so like not human to them almost. Yeah. Like they were a different species to them. And now in our day and age, we obviously see that as like disgusting and insane and an extreme, extreme belief. But back then that was so normal. And when you're looking at the Kennedys and their morality, and anytime I try to think like, okay, were the Kennedys bad people? Like, did they have bad, like really bad intentions? Like, what was their actual core belief and what did they actually stand for? Was it all a power trip? I look back to how they treated Rosemary and I look at how they treated each other in general, their family and other people.
And yeah, even other people, not even just themselves. Like, Lem was an outcast. Lem was an outsider.
Yeah, and he was also, like, super controversial, like, him being gay.
Yeah.
And although that wasn't, like, a known thing, he wasn't screaming he was gay, but I think
Kennedys
a lot of people...
had to have.
Yeah, like, and you even look at photos, and it's just is way more feminine than than the rest of the guys that they hung out with.
Except for Bobby.
Why did Bobby also look, like, very feminine?
Oh, my gosh. If you guys are on the top tier of our Patreon, please watch the Rosemary episodes because all the photos of Rosemary is like so cool. But also
Bobby there's in Bobby all of those photos.
In the end of, is it the third episode? I think?
Yeah, it's the third episode.
Oh my gosh.
It's the photos of him on the tennis court and then also of him with Eunice and Jean. His hair and his outfit, Cassie's like, his mom for sure dressed him because, and he's like old.
Yeah, he like, it gives off the vibes of he didn't really care what he looked like and he didn't really know anything about fashion. And so he just allowed his mom to tell him to do whatever. And Jack was like, no, I'm not going to listen to you, yeah, Rose.
Jack
went out of his way to be sloppy. Messy, sloppy, and get under his mother's nerves as much as possible.
He Bobby looks like was a ragamuffin. Like, no, Jack I always looks care. Like in every single one of those photos, Jack looks like a ragamuffin just like running wild and barefoot and dirty.
Him and Kick were like
just so sloppy, messy, just didn't care, just there to have a fun party.
Do not look wealthy whatsoever.
No. Joe Jr. is very buttoned up, but he still is so boyish looking and just like athletic looking, like preppy.
Yes. Eunice looks like a well-off, intelligent nerd.
Like, right. Academic.
I went to Harvard. Like, she exudes academia.
But also, like, conservative. She's very, like, conservative.
But you can tell she's, like, well-off.
Yeah. Know?
Freaking Bobby looks like Richie Rich went to Richie Richville and came out the other side of Whoville.
Yeah, he is something else.
I mean, where did you come
but
from,
but he doesn't
kid?
Look like that at all in his adulthood.
No, that's what I'm saying. I feel like his mom just was dressing
literally,
him still.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, I don't freaking care what I
Which
wear.
Which Ted also, well, I think he's Jean 24/7 because of his haircut and his frilly socks. And she would literally put him in, like, dresses.
You know what like, it makes me think of?
What?
Oh, first of all, Lord Fauntleroy. Yeah. Second of all, hello, Autry and Claus.
Yeah.
In my red velvet shorts and patent leather boots. I just am dying at these little boys dressed to the absolute nines.
Anyways, Casey.
Where were we?
I was talking about how they treated Rosemary and how they treated each other.
Wow, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, now I can't even think of what the frick I was saying. Oh, but I do think that as much as Cassie painted for us the time and place that Rosemary was growing up and how cruel and just gross people's views of people with disabilities were, I don't even think
it sounds like an extreme outsider thought.
And I don't even think that it's like even driven home. Like, I think that you really have to sit there and think about what that the norm that people, that doctors, that educators were literally telling them, ship her off. Like, it is not the right, like, they were literally telling them it's not the right thing to do to keep her at home with the other siblings. She is not normal. She is unwell. You need to send her to a hospital or send her to a facility.
Every
well-educated, knowledgeable person.
Yeah. Everyone that they were going to
be
for knowledge and advice and wisdom were telling them, put her in an institution. And Joe's like, no.
She's my kid.
And Rose said, no.
Yeah, absolutely not. And they didn't even know how severe and awful. I mean, it wasn't even until like the 60s and 70s that people really understood how bad the conditions were and how unethical the treatment was.
I think more even for them, yeah, it was the separation from her family. They were like, yeah. Why does she need to be separate from her family?
And just because she has a developmental delay and a disability doesn't mean that she's not a Kennedy kid. She's our kid. Yeah, she's one of us.
Yeah. There's such little prejudice in their decision making.
Yes, and I almost think that it was innate in Joe's understanding of the world, because that's almost something that you can't be taught. Like, yeah, prejudice is taught, but it's taught on such a subliminal level. And
yeah,
for us,
you almost can't pick up on it. You almost can't not pick up on it.
Correct. And even in 2022, and we're also woke and we're also aware of our own bias and our own prejudice and trying to not be that way, we're still like all just products of our environment. And it's still there. It's not physically, humanly possible to not be prejudiced at all, to not be biased at all. Like, you just are going to because of the way that our brains work. And for back then, it's
the most radical thing in the world.
Yes, it had to have been partly
pure innate love.
Yeah.
I think that they were just like,
and he was just like,
that's
literally
our rose. That's our rosemary.
You know how people just talk about vibrating on like a higher level or whatever? Like, Joe was just at the height. Like, he was just not on the same human wavelength as everyone else. Mm-mm. With all of their clouded judgment. It's almost like the higher power was so like upfront in his brain that he didn't even operate like it was his natural
state.
Well,
that's the other thing about questioning authority. And that was something that Joe was so passionate about. And so I feel like he just, obviously that came from like the innate thing that you're talking about, the innate mental state and the innate like ability to just think on a different level than other people. Mm-hmm. But that was something that he had investigated and decided, I definitely agree with this. I do not just trust other people. Mm-hmm. I definitely don't really care about authority other than God and the Pope. And that's something that we've talked about in other situations with the Kennedys, with other topics.
Yeah.
But with Rosemary, I didn't think through that really, like you were saying. I didn't think that perspective of Joe's like no authority mindset had an effect on the way that they
parented
Rosemary. But for sure, because yeah, like you're saying, we touch on what was expected back then was to send her away, but they literally were seeking counsel and seeking advice, and they were hearing, yes, you need to ship her somewhere else,
you can't take care of her.
Yeah. Over and over and over and over and over and over and over again her whole life. Mm-hmm. And they were not trusting those people. It's just more evidence that just because someone is qualified and tells you something does not mean that it is the right decision. And you don't need to go against what you believe in to your core.
There goes the blowing out the Rockies again.
Really? I didn't hear that at all.
You didn't hear or feel that?
No.
The entire room shook.
Dude, Cassie. I'm in a fishbowl.
Oh my God. Oh my gosh.
I can barely even talk.
I need water. So do I. I've taken so much allergy medication that I am so dehydrated.
Every day. I have a feeling that these family meeting listeners of ours are really going to be our people. And these family meetings are going to be like 3 hours long every freaking week. Y'all are just going to like, if you want content and you like talking about this type of stuff, please give us feedback. And message us on Patreon. Like, this doesn't have to be a one-sided thing. You know what I mean?
Correct. Yeah. Let us know what you want us to talk about too, because
and tell us your perspectives. Like, you might change our minds.
Mm-hmm. And we can always circle back to topics. I mean, we're going to, because we're talking about the same family for like months and months.
But I feel like we're going to have main episode blood and business listeners. And then we're going to have like family meeting family members. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, and I do think that it is harder, too, to understand how much they took. Not like the road less traveled, but
yeah,
kind like of. Said, like, okay. They just were outsiders. And Cassie said this in several of the episodes, like in the Disney episodes, they were outsiders. Like, it was them against the world. Absolutely. Like, they were aliens. And I think in the Bouviers, we talk about that as well and compare it to the Disneys of like, it was them against the world, but it was also them against each other. And that dynamic was unusual. Mm-hmm. But the way that these families operate, the families that we talk about, and the family dynamic, and then who these people end up becoming, and what they like, the legacy that they leave, is weird, and it's not the normal. And basically, all of them took a
road that was less traveled. Outsiders. Yeah.
Yes, which I think is really cool and encouraging, because if you feel like an outsider and you feel like a freak, you feel like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm not supposed to be this way, or everyone on the internet is telling me I should believe X, Y, and Z, and I don't believe that to my core. Let go of that peer pressure, and let go of that pressure on yourself to fit in, or like that just normal human desire to fit in.
The majority is rarely right anyway.
Yes. And it doesn't feel like it would be that way. It feels like, oh, if you're the odd man out or whatever, then you're probably the wrong one, because most people believe a certain thing, but I don't know.
Because we're humans. So the majority is not often.
Oh, and you
and there are I know too much about JFK and like the story because I am like going way too far ahead. But that is something that John Fitzgerald Kennedy not only just subconsciously believed or knew, whatever. No. He discovered that and wrote about it. The majority, the popular vote, is not always freaking correct. Just because people want something or people believe something doesn't mean that they should have it. And Jack discovered that in his 20s, and he literally wrote that down of like, I have just decided that the popular vote doesn't mean that that's the way that the country should be governed. Mm-hmm. And which is very controversial for a democracy, and is not something that I would vote for. But
it is also true.
And true.
Yeah. Sometimes so, it is.
It's dangerous. Obviously Hitler. Yeah.
Yes. That's what I was literally going to circle back to earlier. I think, first of all, I want everyone to take what me and Cassie say with a grain of salt.
We're
just human.
We're just looking at the whole 360.
And like Cassie said earlier in this episode, we advocate a lot of times for a perspective that we don't necessarily agree with, and we would never make those decisions.
Yeah.
But it's still perspective and looking at the different ways that people think is
important. We still think that there's value in looking at every perspective.
And we also tend to advocate for people just because we like to be more positive. And once you really dive deep into someone's human experience and their family, like it's hard to not love them in mm-hmm. a way that is like you feel not fond of them, but protective and also intimate. Yeah. Like you feel like you know their story intimately.
For sure.
And I think that you could pick almost anyone's life, and if you dig deep into it, you will find a reason to love them.
Bethany would be a wonderful defense lawyer because no matter what you did,
criminal and still advocate for them. I would find the one thing that I'm like, they deserve to live. I could zone in and just
if she chose to do it. Yeah, she would find the pathway, the argument that would lead you there.
JFK having all these affairs, he was clearly brainwashed, you know.
Clearly.
We find the loopholes for people. Yeah. But it's we do that in the way that you would do that for your sibling or your parent.
We just know
that they're wrong, or you know that a certain thing that they did was evil, but you also are like, but they're also my dad, or but they're also my sister. Like they're also good.
We are empathetic.
We are good, we are bad.
We are emotional.
No,
they were good.
They were evil. They were human.
Okay, Bethany knows the script better than I do. You just have to know me and Bethany are emotional. We are humans. We are
in our 20s.
Empathetic. And
we are not parents.
We like people.
We love people.
We love people. And we are anti-cancel culture.
Anti-cancel culture. And we are also very okay with just looking at all perspectives and knowing what we believe with ourselves and knowing that we don't need to make it clear our personal beliefs, because that doesn't really...
Yeah, you can take whatever you want from our conversation.
Yes, we're going to spew facts in the main episodes, and in the after show, we're going to dissect decisions mm-hmm.
And some of our opinions will be clear, but also some of these perspectives that we're talking about are not our opinions.
Yes, and I think a lot of times, especially my personality, I can come off like, oh, she for sure believes X, Y, and Z. And yeah. actually I don't, but I want.
Even in real life, that's confusing for me.
But I want a certain point to be driven home. And I feel like my.
You just go into overdrive and you just go into autopilot and you go.
Yeah. So all that to say, take what we say with a grain of salt. And we are definitely aware that we don't know everything.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're here for. We're here to dissect people and get takeaways and allow our lives to be changed by people who did incredible things.
Yeah.
And you can also learn a lot.
Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yes. You can also learn a lot from mistakes as well. Obviously, yeah. you should be learning from your own mistakes. So to look at other people and see what they did wrong and what they did right is incredible way to change and to grow.
There's value in every story. Dude, my stomach has growled like 7 times.
Okay, hold on. But that is what I wanted to say about like the circling back to Hitler. I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to say, just because we're saying a lot of times the way that everyone else, if everyone is agreeing on something, that doesn't mean it's always right.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's not the rule. Like, that's not 100% of the time.
And exactly, World War II taught Jack that.
Yes.
The majority was not the morally righteous opinion.
Yeah. I saw a TikTok the other day that was basically, I think someone was interviewing someone was like, do you believe in God? And I think I sent it to you. And she said, yeah, I do. And they were like, why? Why do you believe in that there's a God? And she said, it basically boils down to my morality and understanding that societal norms and societal morals change a mm-hmm. lot throughout time, even a short period of time, yep. even just in the past 20 years. In 5 years, people decide that certain things are fine that we 5 years ago or 20 years ago, 50 yeah. years ago thought were absolute evil.
Yeah.
And because that shifts so much, I have to have some sort of foundational truth that does not change with the times. Yeah.
And she said she had some kind of disability and she was like,
yeah, her arms ago, were like deformed.
Okay. Yeah. 50 years ago, I would have been a monster. I would have been
either a freak show or
unclean and discarded by society.
Clearly,
and I'm not like, going to base my core identity and beliefs on whatever is trending at the moment.
Yeah.
Whatever idea or thought or opinion is trending. And that's how we can have such heroes like Harriet Tubman and the white people in the Underground Railroad and the people who hid Anne Frank in the Correct. Attic. They figured out who they were so
much
concretely
so.
That the societal opinion could not take that away from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a powerful lesson to learn. And I think it's like reaching enlightenment. Most people, obviously, it's like a very hard path to go down. And most people do not ever reach enlightenment.
Right.
And I think that that's kind of the same sort of thing where with humans reaching their core belief and being able to believe it so much so that nothing can shake them. Those are the stories of like ultimate bravery and ultimate self-sacrifice.
But you have such perspective on a large
grand scale yes.
that you know that you don't matter as much as you making this decision matters.
And the cause. Yeah, the ultimate ripple effect, like you were saying at the beginning of this episode.
That was us testing our microphones.
Well, we were talking about the ripple effects that people can have and how much I do feel like the Kennedys have shown me that as well, of like that self-sacrificial lifestyle where the grand scale and eternity and like souls are at the front of your mind with
yes.
your decision making.
It matters more than the affairs. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The affairs is like those day-to-day sins that everybody makes a big deal out of. And obviously, would I feel horrible if my husband was having an affair? I would not be okay with that at all. But it's the perspective of Martin Luther King Jr., like the good that he was doing far outweighed
right.
his little daily sins. In when you look at the effect on humanity and history,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Every sin is a sin and every bad thing is evil. But the long lasting effects of each thing are different. Like, I don't know if his affairs had as much long lasting effect as his advocacy and
change on the country and therefore on the world and therefore on so many people's individual lives and families and legacies that they're able to.
Yeah, and I still don't know what I think about any of that.
I know. It is really confusing. And I don't even think that we will ever, like, we're not the ultimate judges. We don't know what is
important and what's not important.
Yeah, and sometimes I don't even know what is right and what is wrong. But I do think that there is a trend, though, of people who did incredible, extreme things for society also
having extreme sins in their life.
Yeah.
Even if you go back all the way to David.
Mm-hmm, if you're a wishy-washy person or if you're a really content,
you're gonna
normal
play
person, you're going to play
it
safe in all areas. Impact. Exactly. And we're also people who do incredible things probably have reached a celebrity or a power that humans are bound to, like, screw up with, you know?
Yeah, and there's also, I feel like, a correlation with, obviously, the only people who are making change are the people who are more okay with risk. You're going to have more tolerance for risk and pain in every aspect of your life.
Yeah.
And that's going to have effects.
Uh-huh.
Just like Joe Kennedy was fine with risk and pain, it was true in his business, it was true in his politics, it was true in his parenting, it was also true in his marriage. And it's hard to be a human and to have boundaries and not just, like, have a certain way of behavior that just kind of sweeps
across the board.
Right.
Yeah. You either play it safe or you
don't.
Balls to the wall.
Yeah.
Just go out kicking and screaming.
And I think it really does go back to that tolerance of pain.
Yeah. And
because
I do.
Because risk is. What's risk?
It's discomfort. It's pain. It's,
yeah. Well, it's the possibility of putting yourself through pain. Mm-hmm. And if you're okay with pain, you're going to be a riskier person. You're going to make crazier decisions. You're going to have more of an impact. But if you have a lower tolerance of pain, you're not going to risk. You're not going to go outside the box and you're not going to have as much of an effect.
Oh, my gosh. We said we literally had nothing to talk about in this episode.
Well,
it's 1 p.m.
All over the place anyways. Cassie's probably starving. Are you starving?
Yeah.
Join us here next week to hear KFM 3, Part 2.
Thank you all for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed it, please give us a review on Apple, rate us on Spotify, and share Blood and Business with a friend or a sibling. If you'd like to support the show, the best way is to become a patron of Blood and Business. You will get bonus content every month, including a monthly bonus episode, interactive main episodes, and behind-the-scenes footage.
To keep up with us day-to-day, you can follow us at Blood and Business on Instagram and TikTok. You can find the link for Instagram, TikTok, and Patreon in the show notes below. Thank you so much for the support, and we will see you back here next week for your regularly scheduled programming on
Blood and Business.